Applications of the Feast of Tabernacles, and this is borne out in the first part of John's Gospel, is that Jesus tabernacled among us. Jesus came to dwell among us, and that is the exciting aspect of our lives, that Jesus Christ is with us. He tabernacles with us. And one of the things that I'm praying for myself, I pray for all of us, is that we would have Jesus' heart, that we would have Jesus' heart of compassion for people, that the thing that caused Jesus to be moved by compassion, that would be in each one of us. And so, Lord, we just give this time to you, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, that we would not just hear with our physical ears, Lord, but we would hear with the ears of our heart, Lord God, that we would hear with our heart, Lord God, and that you would change us today, Lord, in Jesus' name. We've been talking about the purpose of life, and last time we talked about how the purpose of life from Deuteronomy chapter 6 is to love God with all of our heart, soul, and might, and we talked about the Shema. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad, and how this is a excellent strategy in dealing with difficult situations, perhaps difficult people, parents with difficult situations with their children, that as we Shema, as we hear, as we listen and not react to situations, but as we listen, we consider Yisrael. We consider what the values of Israel are. We consider what the values of the Word of God are. For those of you who weren't here last time, I took pains to emphasize that I received this idea from a Rabbi Abrams, who brought out this insight in his book, to give credit there. But to consider what the Word of God says as we listen, to not just react to the situations and come with our two cents very quickly about matters, but to consider what the Word of God says about the matter at hand. And then Adonai speaks of God's grace-filled character, that our first response is always to show the grace-filled love of Yeshua Jesus, in that whatever situation it may be. And then Eloheinu, which speaks of God's justice, speaks of God's truth. And yes, we do need to bring the truth to bear. We need to bring the truth to bear with our children. We need to bring the truth. People are looking for the truth. People need to know the truth. We can't just short shrift the truth. We've got to be able to share the truth. Yes, we show that love. We show that grace. But people need the truth. They need the truth of God's word. And then Adonai again. That grace-filled love that God speaks of when the character of God, when he says, my mercies are new every morning. And then what is the goal of all? Echad, that we would be one, that we would be one with God, that parents and children would be one, that husbands and wives would be one. We can apply this in many different situations, that as we listen to each other and hear each other out, that husbands and wives will be one, that families will be one, that we will be one. Sometimes we get into a little bit of things as congregants, as brothers and sisters in the Lord, all right? And we maybe, rub elbows the wrong way a little bit, all right? Well, this has application at work and wherever we may be. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Today I'd like to focus on Jesus' great purpose, the Great Commission, where Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. His great commission, his great purpose of life. And one of the great purposes of life is that we be reaching out relationally with Christ. That yes, we allow the heart of compassion of Christ to change our hearts. And we're not just going about life and our agenda and really thinking in terms of, what's going to benefit me. But we live life with a focus on others, and we're reaching out relationally with Christ. I wasn't researching for this at all in that respect, but during the course of this week, obviously I've been studying the Word. This article on the internet came to my attention. And the title of it is How to Immediately Improve Your Life. And then parentheses, hint, it starts with improving the lives of others. How to immediately improve your life. I mean, if you want to immediately improve your life, hint, it starts with improving the lives of others. And what this does, it gives a scientific, how science is showing the proof of the Word of God. This one lady said, love grows brains. We need to show children a picture of love as we raise them. How do we show children a picture of love? Well, they're looking at their parents as we raise them. Philosophers have known this for centuries. The first century Stoic philosopher Seneca, in his moral letters to Lucilia, said, no one can live happily who has regard for himself alone and transforms everything into a question of his own utility. Einstein said, only a life lived for others is worthwhile. Einstein, the great scientist. Giving back is a miracle drug with no side effects. All right, you know, take a drug without side effects. You hear all the times, you know, doctors giving drugs to take care of this, and drug piled upon drug piled upon drug, and then doctors have to kind of, you know, dial it back to take the, you know, this side effect off and that side effect. Well, there's no side effects. Giving back is a miracle drug with no side effects for health and well-being. Indeed, we are so wired for it that our genes reward us for giving, and they punish us when we don't. Last month, Gretchen Reynolds reported on a study by scientists from the University of North Carolina and UCLA that found that participants whose happiness was mostly hedonic, in other words, hedonistic pleasure, you know, just, you know, living a life of pleasure, you know, living a life for self, trying to get pleasure, or about consuming, that those participants, that their happiness was mostly hedonic, had high levels of biological markers that promote inflammation, which is linked to conditions like diabetes and cancer. Those whose happiness was based on service to others had health profiles showing reduced levels of these markers. Okay, this is all from a scientific analysis. Of course, we all experience a mix of both kinds of happiness, but our body's internal system is subtly pushing us to augment the kind based on giving. In another study, Donald Moynihan said, our findings make a simple but profound point about altruism. Helping others makes us happier. Altruism is not a form of martyrdom, but operates for many as part of a healthy psychological reward system. So given the unmistakable health benefits of empathy, note Christ's compassion, and specifically putting empathy into action, how do we strengthen it? And how do we pass it on? Parents put a lot of time into thinking about how to pass on a better material life to their children. You know, get a good education, go to college, get a good job. But it's just as important to focus on passing down a rich capacity for compassion. This is especially true in our modern world, in which our deep, hardwired need to connect with others is beset on all sides by distractions and technology. One 2010 San Diego State University study found a fivefold increase in depression among children since the Great Depression. Children were happier in the Great Depression. There's been a fivefold increase in depression in children since the Great Depression. You know, I think of, you know, my grandpa, who grew up in the Great Depression. I asked him what it was like. Well, you know, they didn't have much money, but they were on the farm, and they worked the farm, and they got the milk from, you know, a few cows, and they had a vegetable garden. They didn't make any money, but they had food on the table, and but they weren't depressed. You know, depression has increased fivefold in children since the Great Depression. Mary Gordon made this point. We need to show children a picture of love as we raise them. Learning is relational, and empathy is constructed, not instructed. So it's not enough to tell your children about empathy or to think of how someone else feels. We have to show them, which means, of course, that we have to do it ourselves. Technology has made it possible to be in a self-contained, disconnected bubble 24 hours a day, even while walking down the street. Have you ever seen this? You know, people walking down. Our devices might seem like they're connecting us, but they're really disconnecting us from other people without whom it's hard to activate our hardwired need for empathy. How to immediately improve your life. Hint, it starts with improving the lives of others. In our bulletins, if you look in our bulletin, we have markers that relate to our vision and our vision statement inside the bulletin. Talks about how we reach out to peoples of all nations as a house, a loving, united family. Accept people for who they are. Encourage each other as brothers and sisters in the Lord. All right? And the prayer. We walk in an open, honest, grace-filled relationship. But the part that I really want to focus on is that third part where it says we're reaching out relational community that purposefully makes disciples from all nations. Lord, I pray that you would help us. Lord, help me. Help all of us to be more purposeful in this purpose. Vance alluded to the My Hope with Billy Graham initiative. And my hope is that this My Hope with Billy Graham initiative will stir this major purpose in our life. In the school, we talk to the children a lot about what it means to be an others-focused champion. And so for us to really develop that empathy and compassion, the compassion of Christ for others. I'd like us all to turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, starting at verse 16. And this is Christ's major purpose. Because of Abraham's obedience, Jesus said that he would bless all nations through Abraham's obedience. And Jesus came to this earth, born a Jew, grew up, died for the sins of the world, rose from the dead, and then he said, go and make disciples of all nations. And that is what has and continues to take place to this day. And all nations are being blessed through Abraham's obedience. Verse 16 says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All authority. Jesus said, all authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. He was communicating something to his disciples there. What was he communicating to them? In Matthew 10:1, Jesus called his 12 disciples to him. And it says he gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. His disciples were given the authority of Jesus Christ to do the task that he was giving them to do. And when we go in the name of Jesus Christ, when we go purposefully to share Christ, we are going in the authority of Jesus Christ. The simple act of praying for someone, can I pray for you, is a powerful act. There are so many things that can be communicated through prayer. When someone asks for me to pray for them, I try to remember to pray for them later. But I make it a point to pray for them right then and there. To stop everything and to pray. It's powerful. Prayer is powerful. God works through prayer. I hear, you know, God just answering prayers over and over and over again. When I hear that Dwayne, just off the top of my head, Dwayne's business is prospering, I say that is an answer to prayer. When I hear that Nadia is who has a 2-year-old little baby in her daycare, and she wanted prayer for that 2-year-old little baby. And I hear that she's been calm, and God is giving Nadia grace to help that little baby in her daycare. I see that as an answer to prayer. God answers prayer. God works through prayer. And God opens hearts through prayer. Don't ever hesitate to let your flock group leader, to let one of the elders, to let a friend in the Lord, a brother and sister in Christ, to know that you have a prayer need, that you need someone to pray for you. Christianity is not a matter of just me being that Lone Ranger Christian and just striving and being strong in myself. We need the Lord and we need one another. If you have a situation that you're going through, you need to share that with a brother or sister in the Lord and ask that person to pray for you. Hearts are open through prayer. Non-believers' hearts are open through prayer. When we pray for somebody, when I pray for people, often I see that they start, you know, their eyes start glistening and it starts touching their heart. The love of God is communicated through prayer. Look at verse 19. So Jesus said, since all authority has been given to me, and we've been, Jesus Christ tabernacles among us, Jesus Christ is with us, Jesus Christ dwells in our hearts by faith, he is tabernacling in our hearts, and we know that, and we have that confidence, and we have that authority. He says in verse 19, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. I love how Vance often reminds us that the nations are right here with us. And yes, we support missionaries and pastors in Africa and in different parts of the world. But the nations are also right with us. To make disciples of all nations, all we have to do is to step out into our neighborhood and not just be like this. All right? All we have to do is to step out of our cubicles at work. All we have to do is be willing to step out of our comfort zone. Often this is like an escape mechanism. Just being focused on the technology. And so often we get disconnected from people. But to get our head up and to see, actually see, you know, what is going on around us and the people that are around us and who may need the Lord. Jesus said, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. The Lord's purpose for us is that we would be fishers of men and women. In Luke 5:10, Jesus said to Peter, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. He had been catching fish, but he said, from now on, you will catch men. Jesus had a way of getting right to the heart of the matter. Come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. This is your life purpose from now on. You've been focusing on fishing. Think of your job. That was Peter's job. He was a fisherman. Jesus applied it to his job. Think of what your job is. And now apply what Jesus said. From now on, you will catch men. And Jesus is saying, don't be afraid. Be part of this great purpose. Be purposeful in this great purpose. Catch people for me. Bring them to the Lord. What is the message of the kingdom of God? What do we have to communicate to people that will change their lives? Why is the gospel good news? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. That was their job. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, Jesus saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about Jesus spread all over Syria. Alfred was talking about Syria this morning. And people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases. And people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases. Those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed. And Jesus healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. Lives are being changed. Wherever Jesus went, lives were changed. And the news about Jesus spread. The good news spread. The kingdom was preached. The gospel was being shared. The good news was being shared to all who would listen. What is the message of the kingdom of God? Why is it good news? It's good news because God's grace turns people's lives around. Amen. God's grace helps people to live the way God created us to live. When God's kingdom takes a hold of a person, when God's kingdom takes a hold of a marriage, when God's kingdom takes a hold of a family, when God's kingdom takes a hold of how a father relates to and loves and trains his children, when a mother trains her children, when God's kingdom takes a hold, things change. We start living the way God intended for us to live. And it becomes inherent to the people's lives. Inherent blessing comes. Order, yes, good order, good kingdom order comes into the family's life. Life comes, healing comes. Healing from the effects of sin on our bodies. Yes, we are healthier. We have freedom from sin and its destructive effects on our relationships and our families. There's right relationships. The stuff of life, the things that really are what our life is made up of. Righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. That sense of rightness, things are right. You know, things are right in my marriage. Things are right with my children. Things are right in our family. Things are right at work. Things are right in my relationships. Just that sense of things being right. Joy. A mind at peace. Health. It affects our health. Our mental health. Our emotional health. Our spiritual health. And yes, our physical health. We have a sense of purpose. Our minds are screwed on straight. We have a sound mind. We're thinking rightly. This is the kingdom of God. This is the kingdom of God. This is all part of the kingdom of God. And we have the good news of the kingdom. When God's kingdom comes in people's lives, change happens. And that change is for the good. I love Acts 10:38. Acts 10:38 says that Jesus, quote, went around doing good. I mean, what a purpose. I mean, think about it. What if it was just your job to just go around doing good? Well, that can be your purpose. Maybe you have your job, of course, that you're making money with. But to have that focus of going around doing good. As Isaiah 61:1 says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. Going around, sharing good news. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives. Going around, proclaiming freedom to those that are enslaved. And release from darkness for the prisoners. Right now we're in 11th grade English class. We're reading The Pit and the Pendulum by Edgar Allan Poe. A horror story. Oh, in a Christian school, we're reading a horror story. The Pit and the Pendulum by Edgar Allan Poe. Based on the French Inquisition. And this guy is caught. And he's been tried. And he's been declared guilty by the Inquisition. And he avoids the pit. He's in utter darkness. He cannot see where he is. And he's in this dungeon. and he trips over something and he avoids the pit. He avoids falling in the pit, and then he has to endure the pendulum. You have to read the story to find out how the end goes. But in this dungeon, there's total darkness. There's total darkness, proclaiming release from darkness for the prisoners. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, going around doing good, going around proclaiming favor, going around proclaiming the love of God, going around proclaiming the like of God, going around proclaiming favor and grace, and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Sing with me. He gave me beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that we might be trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Great song, probably back from the 70s. Beauty instead of ashes. Joy instead of mourning. The garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. That we might be trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. This is what Jesus desires to do through us. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. In teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. We can have that confidence. Christ is with us. We read that scripture, we sing that song, that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And there's that whole listing. If nothing can separate you from the love of Christ, can a loss of a job separate you from the love of Christ? Can whatever you are fearing can separate you from the love of Christ? Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. When we share Christ, when we reach out relationally, it's exciting. We realize that we're walking in our life's purpose. When I get out witnessing, I tell you, it's one of those times when, boom, the witness of the Holy Spirit is very prevalent and powerful. The witness of the Holy Spirit inside us. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. I just have to share that with you because that reminds me of a time when I needed the witness of the Holy Spirit in my life. And someone instructed me to just confess the word. Confess Jesus is Lord. And boom, the witness of the Holy Spirit sprung back in my heart when I was in deepest doubt. And I always remember that moment, the witness of the Holy Spirit. The witness of the Holy Spirit also comes when we witness of Christ. If you want to, okay, yes, feel spiritually the Holy Spirit inside of you, that's called the witness of the Holy Spirit, that you understand, you sense the Holy Spirit inside of you, witness of Jesus Christ. When we witness of Jesus Christ, when we share Christ, we experience the witness of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there, right there, encouraging us, inspiring us, motivating us, saying, I am with you. How many of you experienced what I just talked about? All right? When we share Christ, that witness of the Holy Spirit is there. And that inspires us. And he's encouraging us. And he's saying, you go. I am right there with you. I'm there with you. I'm with you. And that's what he says. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. The Holy Spirit empowers us to reach out relationally and pray for them. All right? We may think that we're, going with fear and trembling. We may think, what are they going to think of me? We may, wonder, what people are going to think. I've realized for myself when I'm walking up to people, I have to, about 15 yards out, have to say, hi, I'm Pastor Dan, so that no one mistakes my intentions as I'm, kind of accosting them and walking up to them, so they understand where I'm coming from. But the witness of the Holy Spirit is right there. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 9. I know I'm in Matthew here, and it just worked out that way. But it's going to relate to what we're going to do here at the end of the message as well. In Matthew chapter 9, Matthew was one of the 12 disciples of Jesus Christ. A tax collector. And tax collectors were not looked on kindly. I would say even worse than in how we might view the IRS, the Internal Revenue Service, today, because they would just definitely kind of be exorbitant in their taxing, and they would take, a lot off the top for themselves. And so tax collectors were not trusted, and they were not looked on very highly. And Matthew, the tax collector, was one of Jesus' disciples. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 9, it says, as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, Jesus told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and quote-unquote sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. Many quote-unquote sinners came to eat with Jesus at Matthew's house. Jesus elsewhere was called a friend of sinners. He spent time with them, and he shared God's love and mercy with them. In Matthew 9:11, it says, when the Pharisees saw this, that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? See, the Pharisees taught that God's grace was only for those who kept the law. But what did Jesus say? Look in Matthew 9:12. On hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Jesus was saying, my grace is for all people. He was saying, I'm calling you to relate to non-believers and to share my love with non-believers while not being drawn into wrong habits. He was referred to the righteous. He said, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. The righteous were really the self-righteous. And so the Pharisee was talking about Jesus relating to quote-unquote sinners. And Jesus was saying, I've not come to call the righteous. And so there's major plays on words going here. All right, when Jesus was referring to the righteous, he was referring to those that already saw themselves as righteous. He was referring to the self-righteous. He was referring to those that I'm okay. I'm already righteous. I'm self-righteous. He was referring to those that didn't see a need. They didn't realize their need. See, the sinners, those that are sick, realize they have a need. And they realize that they are totally dependent on Jesus Christ. And so Matthew opened up his home. And I want to encourage us all to be a Matthew. I want to encourage us all to open up our lives, open up our hearts, and yes, to consider opening up our homes. And Vance has queued up a DVD with My Hope with Billy Graham. And we're going to show a little section called My Hope Explained. And it's about a 5 or 6 minute section. And I'd like us all to listen to this. This is an initiative that I think has been used in many different nations successfully, and it's something that this fall is going throughout the United States. Everybody needs hope. There's a lot of people out there that need hope. I know Ruth, she works in the hospital. She knows that many, many people need hope. And so this is my hope explained, and then we'll talk about it a little bit after it's done. I'd like us all to take out the brochure in our bulletins, and it really is not complicated. It's simply doing what the Lord has called us to do, but it's being purposeful in our hearts and our minds about it. It's when Jesus said, from now on, you're going to catch men. It's making that our purpose, our life purpose. To really reach out to people relationally and to pray for ones. The brochure explains what it's all about. If you look on the inside flap here, it's praying for and asking the Lord to place two or three people upon your heart. Two or three neighbors, friends, co-workers, two or three people upon your heart that don't know the Lord. And then you're going to commit to praying for those ones and with eyes wide open, looking for opportunities to relate to them and reach out to them, being purposeful. I want to encourage us all. This isn't something also for just this fall. And whether or not you opened up, whether you open your home up on November 7th, when we're aiming for, and invite people into your home, I'm hoping that we will all grow in this purpose of just reaching out relationally and praying specifically for various ones. We are going to be having training next week after church at 12:15, and then October 6th after church at 12:15, and then there's another Sunday later on in October after church, and there'll be more training. And you can come to one of those trainings. You can come to all three of those trainings. Even if you don't come to the training, we're going to encourage you. This is just something that the Lord, you know, calls us to be doing. And so, I just want to encourage us that, again, Luke 5:10 says, Jesus said, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." I'd like us all to stand and just close with a word of prayer as the worship team comes. And thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that you say, "I will be with you as we reach out, Lord God." Father, so many of us have experienced the truth of that and the witness of your Holy Spirit just being powerful in our hearts, Lord God, as we have shared Christ with others, Lord. Father, I help us to realize, Lord God, that this is about others, Lord God. Arrest our attention, Lord. Father, I pray, Lord God, that you would change my heart, Lord God. Father, I pray that you would move me with compassion for the people in my life, the people that are in the periphery of my life, the people that I just kind of see every day, but don't really have a relationship with, Lord God. I pray that you would change my heart and move me to compassion for others. Help us to recognize, Lord God, that the time is short, whether Jesus comes today or tomorrow, or whether he tarries, that in people's lives, the time is short. That person that you're tugging upon our hearts to share Christ with, that person may not live next week. They might be coming to their day of destiny, Lord God. And Father, I pray, Lord God, that you would help each one of us, Lord God, to recognize that salvation is of the Lord, and you use us to share Christ with others, Lord God. Father, help us to recognize that this is our life purpose, Lord God. That as Christians, as disciples of Christ, that we're called to make disciples, we're called to share Christ, we're called to catch men, we're called to catch women and children, and we're called to bring them to you, Lord God. Father, I pray, Lord God, over each one here, Lord God, the words of Jesus Christ, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. From now on, you will catch women. From now on, you will catch children. From now on, you will catch those who are dying. From now on, you will catch those who need healing. From now on, you will catch the depressed. From now on, you will catch the sick. From now on, you will catch those who don't even know that they have a need. From now on, you will catch people for Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.